start things out. We'll ask how everybody's doing, and then we'll get right into these program changes and get you up to date on all that tomorrow on the morning show. Stick around for Morning Magazine right here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, locally grown radio.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. People in one Texas city are struggling as they mark the one-year anniversary of a mass shooting that took the lives of 19 children and two teachers.
I'm Chris Fox in Uvalde, Texas, where the victims' families and survivors of the school shooting will have to relive the worst day of their lives.
It's going to be overwhelming. Very sad. We are going to have deja vu.
Berlinda Areola lost her 10-year-old granddaughter, Emery Jo Garza. Mercedes Salas taught fourth grade at Robb Elementary in a classroom across the hallway from the massacre.
Every day I wake up thinking of them. I pray for them.
Manuel Rizzo lost a niece. He spent Tuesday at the state capitol fighting for gun reform.
Our justice is to make changes at all levels to prevent another Uvalde.
Florida Governor Ron DeSantis has made it clear he intends to run for the Republican presidential nomination.
We're proud of what we've accomplished in Florida, but I can tell you this, I have only begun to fight.
Later today, he will make it official in a live Twitter forum alongside the platform's CEO, Elon Musk. Lawmakers in South Carolina have passed a six-week abortion ban. Republican State Senator Shane Massey predicts
there's going to be a court challenge. And, we've tried very hard to put language in this legislation that responds to the justice's concerns.
The governor has promised to sign the new law as soon as possible. Shoppers will have to do some searching to find new trans-friendly clothing at Target. CBS's Jennifer Kuiper.
Target says it has moved its Pride merchandise from the front of the stores to the back in some southern stores after confrontations and backlash. One of the items that has attracted the most attention are certain women's bathing suits that can be worn by trans women who have not had gender-affirming operations.
There are also kids' versions of those swimsuits. Some angry customers have knocked down the Pride merch displays and threatened employees. Russia claims it has crushed a daring attack on territory that originated in northeastern Ukraine. Correspondent Deborah Patta reports.
The group claiming responsibility, the Free Russia Legion, are pro-Ukrainian Russian defectors and volunteers who joined forces with another anti-Kremlin group.
The Kremlin claims they used machine guns, artillery, and drones. A super typhoon has swept across the northern tip of Guam. The National Weather Service says it's pummeled the U.S. territory with high winds, heavy rains, and dangerous storm surge. Officials there had been bracing for blown-out walls, ruptured fuel storage tanks, and overturned cars. The Dow is down 198 points, S&P off 28. This is CBS News.
Find your next great hire with Indeed. Their hiring platform makes it easy to attract, interview, and hire candidates all in the same place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Two guys drove to work. Neither guy wore a seatbelt. One guy got a ticket. One guy didn't. The same two guys drove home. One guy wore a seatbelt. One guy didn't. One guy made it home. The guy not wearing his seatbelt didn't. Don't risk it. Click it or ticket. Paid for by NHTSA.
With summer savings at the Home Depot, we'll get your kitchen clicking. With top brand appliances, like a new GE refrigerator with internal water dispenser for a crisp, cool glass of water every time. Or a GE oven with built-in air fryer for healthier, crispier options with no preheating. Plus, with convenient shopping in-store and online at the Home Depot, your innovative new appliances are just a click away, too. Save up to 30% on select appliances plus $300 off select refrigerators at the Home Depot. Pricing valid May 18th through June 7th, 2023. U.S. only. See store online for details.
We all make promises, big and small, tested over time and distance, tried by circumstances and decisions.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America.
I do solemnly swear to bear true faith and allegiance.
To help you when you're in need.
To tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
To be considerate and caring. Courageous and strong.
For better.
For worse.
in sickness and in health.
To love and cherish.
To be your loving, faithful friend.
Partner.
Child.
Parent.
Neighbor.
One of our most important commitments is to support our nation's veterans. Learn how you can help a veteran going through a difficult time by visiting maketheconnection.net.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Cloudy skies with a few peaks of sun this afternoon, with daytime highs approaching 63. Easterly winds 10 to 15 miles per hour. Mainly cloudy again tonight, lows around 37. 67 tomorrow, lots of sunshine. Low 70s Friday, upper 70s Saturday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 58.
Good morning. You're listening to Central Wisconsin's 24-hour information station, WFHR. It's time now for the Morning Magazine.
Welcome, everyone, to Morning Magazine for this May 24th, 2023. It is 10:06 on the clock. Have your host, James J. Mailoff, here. At 10:30, we're going to welcome in Chris Nemitz and Chris Goach. They are the mental health coordinators with the ODC. Looking forward to talking with them any chance we get to talk to our friends at the ODC. Right now, our good friend Lance Plimmel, chairman with Wood County Board, is in with us, along with our good friends from Wisconsin Rapids Community Media. Say good morning to them. Do yourself a favor. Go into YouTube. Type in your search bar, Wisconsin Rapids Community Media, subscribe to their page, keep up on all the great things that they are doing over there. It's also a great way to do your homework for interviews. That's what I did last night, because I didn't get to watch the whole thing, but thanks to you guys putting those out there, I got to watch some of the board meeting that Lance was just in the other day. And I hadn't gotten to see a whole lot of board meetings before, Lance. I've gotten the notes from them before.
Hard to believe, because, you know, we're higher rated than American Idol, so
I don't know why you're missing that. More people should be watching. And I say that teasingly, also seriously. I'm so glad that I watched it. For one, I don't think that until I watched it, I had a really good understanding of what meetings can be like. And not to say that every meeting is going to be like that one, but I appreciated how the balance. It was light. You guys were smiling. You were, you know, communicative to each other, and also business to do, where, you know, you got business done. Is that how a lot of the meetings are, Lance?
Generally, yes. You know, I made a comment at that meeting. I just returned from Utah. I was at a National Association of Counties meeting out there. And I think I started our meeting. There was no public comment, so I happened to make a comment.
Okay.
I guess I get a little latitude as the chairman.
Sure.
And, you know, and I wanted to, you know, thank our board for the collegiality, the compromise in the way in which we work. Because a lot of boards across the country don't have that, you know, that way of doing business. We just are very lucky. And at the end of the day, we might have our discussions, and if you want to call them arguments on particular issues, but at, you know, when we're all said and done, it's, all right, let's shake hands and go out the door smiling. And, you know, you win some, you lose some. But that's what government is. It's, you know, it's a compromise on those issues. And, you know, you hate to compromise, you know, morals, those types of things. But at the end of the day, you typically don't get your way entirely 100% of the time, and you have to be aware of that. You have to sacrifice the perfect decision for the good, you know, outcome.
Any good negotiation, that's, you know, what I've always heard. Both parties leave, and you're a little happy, a little upset. That's a good negotiation. That's a good deal right there, usually.
Yeah, and you have to realize, you know, the one thing I've learned in government over time is you win some, you lose some. You hope you win more than you lose.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, you know, if you lose on an issue, it was because you were outvoted. Mm-hmm. And either you didn't do a really good job of convincing the other side they ought to vote your direction, or the other idea is just a better idea, period. And at that point, you have to say, all right, what's the next issue? Let's get on with it, and let's continue to move forward.
That was something that I thought was very interesting, too. The idea, oh, I feel very strongly about this. We voted. All right, we're moving on. You know, no matter how the vote went your way or not, the ability to do that, the maturity of that, which shouldn't surprise me when we're talking about adults, but it nowadays, I'm very proud of our area for that. I'm very proud that we had that maturity, that we have that. As you touched on, not every area has that. But another thing that occurred to me too, and I've, this is coming from a little bit more of friends of mine and family members I've talked to out in other states, and that, and when it comes to their boards and how so many of them not only don't, well, you know, I don't know if we have a county board, or I don't know who's on it, or I don't know what they do. Like, we have more and more of this seeping into our society when it comes to politics, when it comes to jobs. And one of the persons asked me, well, I don't even know if we need that anymore. I'm like, yeah, you do. Yeah, and I want to get into that a little bit, Lance.
You know, James, that's really funny, because on the way over here, I was, you know, we don't script anything for anybody out there watching or listening to this. You know, it's a free-flowing conversation, whatever comes up. But on the way over here, I was thinking about, you know, what do we talk about? Because we're at a time of year where we're starting to put budgets together. There's nothing overly critical happening right now. You know, if you drive downtown Rampage, you'll see, you know, the jail's well under construction. Yeah, those things are coming along. But it's amazing, and especially coming back from this conference, that people, and I think we do a terrible job of educating our people to this respect, that know what government does. And we have a pretty good program with the Wisconsin Counties Association that we work on. But I don't want to sound crass or crude, but, you know, simple questions we should be asking in school, and we do this in some of our educational opportunities. Who picks up my garbage? And where does it go when they take it? What happens when I flush a toilet? Where does it go? Who's responsible for the upkeep? Who plows the roads in different, you know, in cities, towns, on the state interstate highways? You know, those kind of questions. And the general public has no idea. You know, who operates the courts in the Wood County Courthouse? Who handles the district attorney's offices? Who runs jails? What's the difference between a sheriff's department and a police department? And we don't teach people. And that I find a little bit irritating, because the programs are there. They're, in effect, they're in the can. And we have the opportunity. Maybe we should step up as elected officials, you know, with our schools and say, hey, how about you let me come in for a day?
Yeah.
I'll answer all the questions you want, and I'll teach the class on local government. And and I'm one of many who could obviously do that.
Yeah.
But you're right. There's no understanding of what happens. The one underlying line I always use, and I'm not alone in this, is the further government gets from the people, the less effective it becomes and the less reactive it comes. If you know your neighbor's an elected official and you can talk to him as a human being one-on-one, you get a lot more traction than somebody who you don't know who's in Washington. And in oftentimes, in a position like mine or a county board supervisor, you tend to be the conduit. You know, people call me and say, when you're talking to your state legislator, when you're talking to our congressional representatives, can you let them know? I can, but I can tell you what, your phone call, your letter has a lot of traction there. So, you know, reach out, ask, and then, you know, try to learn, try to educate yourself. I think that's great, because I was thinking about that on the way over.
That's funny.
Most people don't know what government does. You know, I get calls all the time. And there were, some of them are ridiculous, and I'm using the ridiculous to make a point.
Yeah.
You know, Mr. Plimmel, you need to fire the school board. For instance, I'm not elected to the school board, and I have no jurisdiction over the school board. And frankly, I watch what they do, but I don't know what your issue is with the school board.
Right, right.
Or go tell the town guy what to do, because the county outranks the town. Well, I'll tell you what, counties don't outrank towns. It isn't towns, counties, state, federal government. They're all separate levels of government with separate areas of, you know, jurisdiction and purview. And you need to learn that. You need to respect it.
I think that history helps you a lot in this too, and it can help you even remember these things and learn these things. This whole experiment of America started with getting away from monarchies. How do we do that? How do we make sure that the people are always in charge? Multiple forms of government, multiple forms of you know, high of people, checks and balances, and all this, and accountability, and those things. And it all is a tapestry that really does work, and is magnificent to sit back and look at how it's all designed. We live in a time and age where everything's evolving and changing and getting faster and quicker and all these things. There's certain stuff that has remained true to what it was and still is. And I think county boards are one of these things. I think I know what a purpose they serve. I know how important they are. But I also know that I'm a little alone on this, where I talk to just random people and ask them, you know, have you ever thought about joining county board? Have you ever thought about what, you know, being a part of these things? And almost the first question is, yeah, but what do they do? Yeah, but what is it to do? Pretty much everything, man. You know, they're pretty important. It's very an important gig and everything. And it's something that most of you do out of your own free time, out of your own day.
It's not a profession. You know, unlike, you know, some of the other elected officials where it truly is your source of income. But it is interesting, and it touches every aspect of life. And I would say, you know, there are offices you can walk into, the county clerk's office, the register of deeds. There are some people who do business there regularly. But if county government hasn't touched your life, you've probably had a pretty good life. You know, because we do deal, you know, we have sheriff's departments and jails and you know, in courtrooms up there. We deal with people who have financial issues, mental health issues. You know, we touch your life if it's places you might not want to touch, child support, other, you know, other issues like that. And then there are offices, obviously, like our parks offices, planning and zoning, that you might be touched by, or you might go in and ask for help. But generally speaking, people don't know what county government does. We have 650 employees, you know, providing everything from, you know, you look at Edgewater Haven down here to our facility up at in Northwood County, it was previously referred to as Norwood, which most people would recognize that name, to all the other myriad of services that we provide, and they're wide-ranging. When I first ran for office, I was asking in a debate, how many county employees are there? And my mind's going really quick. I'm trying to calculate. I'm thinking, 200. Yeah, I'm thinking that's probably 50 people in the sheriff's department, 50 in the highway department, and I'm thinking, now this goes back 25, 30 years. I'm thinking, got to be 100 others laid around somewhere. Yeah, 650. And then you start thinking, well, those operations, the Edgewaters, Norwoods, are mental health people, our child protective services, adult protective, those are 24/7 operations.
Yeah.
One person doesn't cover a day. And yeah, so there's a lot of people. The scope of county government is huge.
We're in a time and age where there's a million outlets for people to voice their opinions and their two cents and all that. And we have a lot of it. And I, you know, that's part of the beauty of our country is the ability to be able to do that. But there are so many people that are barking and not, they're not looking into where they can get the answers. They're just throwing it out into the ether. And it's not hard to get the answers to a lot of these things. And as Lance touched on, asking public officials, talking to them is very important and very key to this. It's getting harder and harder to get people to be board members, to join things, to be a part of these things, to take from their personal time to do this stuff. I genuinely think we would have better numbers of that if we were better about getting the information out there of what and how important these jobs are. I talk about this with Senator Teston, Representative Krug, Katrina Shanklin. We've talked about this, where we've got a young generation paying attention right now, and they're taking all this in. And what they're seeing on the news is nothing but negative about politics. Nothing but even somebody that you might like from a friendly, quote unquote, friendly news source is going to be harsh on politics. How, if you're a young person, why would I want to do that job? All I'm seeing is negative, negative, negative. All I'm seeing, even when somebody does something right, the other side comes and tears it apart and everything. And it's both sides. This is not a one-sided thing. This is a both sided. It can be very bad. If I'm a young person, I'll go start something on Etsy. I'd rather do that than jump into pot. So this is the danger we're running into, where we're going to get people that are into these jobs that are just in it for the ego, that are just in it because I want my 15 seconds of fame, which is also another issue. I think that one of the ways you create this is what you were touching on before, Lance. Start with the garbage. Who picks up my garbage? Who's in charge of that? Where does it go? It creates empathy. It doesn't just create knowledge. And all of a sudden, you start caring about these things more because you know about them more. And I think that you can pull people in. You're not going to get everybody, but I think you can pull people in through this.
You know, the separations, the duties. And, you know, for those people out there, there's a lot of opportunities to serve within government without being an elected official. There's a number of people that, you know, are not elected that our board, you know, sometimes my recommendation, but our board confirms and we appoint to different positions within the community that serve a vital purpose. You know, right now we're dealing with, you know, one of the things that comes up every year is, you know, what's most important to people in a county? And typically when we interview people around the state or we do surveys, public safety is number one. You know, they know when they want to know that when they walk out their door that they are generally safe. Education, top of the list. Work opportunities. But more and more, it's lifestyle. Mm-hmm. You know, and I'll give you an example. One of the things that we deal with in Wood County and we're facing right now is, you know, we have a Central Wisconsin State Fair, a Wood County Fair, you know, up in Marshfield. And there's a lot of facilities up there. They need maintenance. They need upgrading. But it's a five-day event that, you know, tens of thousands of people attend. And it's a fabric of life in Wisconsin, if not the nation, especially if you're in a rural or suburban area. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes I don't remember, you know, what I ate for lunch yesterday or 2 days ago, but, you know, you kind of remember those days as a kid, the sights, the sounds, the, you know, the smell of the candy, you know, the popcorn being made, or whatever it is. And, you know, we are instrumental in running that fair, the county. And we have a newer county board supervisor. His name's Jeff Penscover. Mm-hmm. And Jeff has kind of taken the bull by the horns on helping us understand that and what might be necessary to improve those fairgrounds. So, you know, one of the things we look at as a county is not just providing what I'd call those vital services, but providing those services that make for a lifestyle that's attractive to people to come to the area.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so right now, you know, we're looking at how we do some improvements up there and host bigger events and bring people to a community. You know, what's the identifying factor within a community? You know, we have Cranberry Blossom Festival down here. I personally would like to see that in a centralized location where everything's in one place, where people really know where to go, when to go, and how to get there. But like with Marshfield, the fairgrounds, we don't always have the facilities to do that. You know, when I travel around the country, there is nowhere in Wood County right now that we can host a really large event.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of the things we're looking up in Marshfield is a fairly large, call it whatever you want to find, but, you know, exposition kind of center. And I don't mean anything fancy, but just a big building where we can bring in events, you know, whether it be summer, fall, winter, you know, enough square footage to have some event of some magnitude. Now, we're not going to be Madison, Milwaukee, or Green Bay. Yeah, we're not going to bring the NFL draft to Marshfield.
That's where I was going to go with this. Dang it. All right, fine. I'll back off.
But if you don't think that, you know, what people don't realize is government responsibility and financial success don't end at a city's border or a county's border, or necessarily a state. You know, the NFL draft, you know, you've seen the numbers. They're talking $90+ million coming into the community. Hundreds of thousands of people. Same thing with the U.S. Senior Open, you know, this year in Portage County, in Stevens Point. If you don't think you're going to have a spillover into all the other, you know, surrounding towns, villages, counties, as well as the economic benefit to place the hotels, restaurants, you know, gas stations, but even the, you know, the golf courses. Those people that come to visit are going to go play the Arrowheads and the Sand Valleys and the other courses in the area. They're going to go to the Kohler area. Bringing those people in the state is extremely important. You have a national convention, political convention, coming in to Milwaukee. I mean, these are huge. And so the way we want to position ourselves is that when people visit our community, there's a sense of community, and there's a sense of people are friendly, welcoming. And that's what I get kind of overwhelmingly when people come here. They say, I can't believe how friendly your community is.
When my family first moved here, we were blown away by the water ski show tournament. We didn't know about
it or
anything.
Biggest water ski tournament in the world.
Yep. And we were so excited about it. We'd go down there, we'd take it all in and everything. And we didn't know anybody in town, so we were just talking to people and mingling. And one of the people we were talking to was a couple that had moved to the area like 5-10 years before that. But they had found out about this area through the water ski show tournament. They liked the area, came here every year, and just decided one year, you know what, we're going to stay. And I don't know if they're still here or not, or anything, but I'll never forget that because it was interesting to run into other transplants. It was interesting, like just out of nowhere, but it spoke to this area, and it's a story that I've read, and I've run into so many people that are from a neighboring town or from another state. They came here to visit or something, or they came through here like my papa did when he drove semi and fell in love with this area. It's just getting them here. And to your point about all those events you touched on, statistically, some of those events, if 10 people showed up at one of those events, 3 to 4 of those people are going to want to come back. And they're going to come back, and they may even move here. So, again, to the importance of population and how much it's every community like ours is trying to keep their population in check and keep it at a certain level. That helps that, too.
You know, and that's a tough part, to run all of these events. You know, and the water ski tournament's a great example. You know, the Wisconsin State Water Ski Show Tournament, largest water ski tournament in the world. Hosted in Wisconsin Rapids. It's been hosted here for, you know, half a century.
Yeah.
Fantastic event. People from all over the country, not just Wisconsin, show up at that event. And when I travel around the state, and I used to tell people this that were in the paper industry, I said, you won't believe this, but when I travel, people often don't say to me it's the home of Consolidated Papers. They say it's the home of that big water ski tournament.
Yeah.
So we have to be cognizant of that, what those events bring into community. But those events don't run with just members of, for instance, the aqua skiers. Just like I'm talking with the fair. It takes hundreds, if not thousands, of volunteers to pull those events off. And I can tell you, because I'm familiar with these, they start planning next year's event the day after this year's event ends. And it takes, I don't want to leave people out, but I'm going to eventually, because I'm going to name somebody.
It
takes members of, you know, whether it be the Kiwanis, the Lions, the Rotary, that pitch in at those events.
Mm-hmm.
They show up, they help, they cook, they clean. They make the community vital in that respect. So there's a lot of opportunities. And the thing that I find most frustrating today is when I hear a young person tell me, there's nothing to do.
Yeah.
And then they tell me, but I don't have time to do anything. And I'm going, wait a minute. Generationally, without the conveniences we have today, I didn't get to used to sit down at a keyboard and a word processor and go, oh, backspace, correct, go. You know, you type a full page, and if you made a one-letter mistake, you type the whole page over because the professor wouldn't accept an erasure.
Yes.
So we all had kids. We had less opportunity to travel, or it took more time. Typically, you know, by plane now, you know, it used to be by car before that, or some buggy. Didn't have word processors, didn't have information at my fingertips, and we did it. Mm-hmm. And when I hear people today say, I just don't have time to be part of that organization, or I don't have time to help out in the community, I'm going, you don't, it's not that you don't have time, you don't want to have time.
Yeah.
Go make some time. Mm-hmm. So at the end of the day, you know, we're going to be judged, you know, generationally by the successes or failures of the following generation.
Yep.
And if there's nobody there to mentor, and that's maybe what I personally take most pride in, is who do you see inclination, talent, or the willingness to do something? And how can I help them?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I know the next generation coming up behind me, let's say politically, they're smarter.
Yeah.
They're more tech savvy. Some cases more educated. Those that are willing to do that have a huge head start on those of us who are older. I'm not going to say old, but older.
older.
You know, that's my encouragement to everybody out there, is be involved in something. You know, you can't sit in your basement all day looking at a screen and assume that you're going to make a real big difference in society. Yeah.
I wanted to wrap up with your conference that you just attended. How did that go? Any headlines from that conference?
Yeah, you know, it's a great conference. So it's the National Association of Counties has a conference every year. They have a national conference, which is going to be in Austin this year. They also have one for the western region of the United States. And, you know, the big takeaway from that is the water issue out west. Mm-hmm. I mean, you look at the levels of Lake Mead. Although Lake Powell has gone up already 70 feet this year. Think about that. It's gone up 70 feet. They're predicting 90 due to the snowpack. But, you know, fresh, clean water is the new oil, you know.
Yeah.
And when we've done some surveys and they say, where's the most attractive place for people to, you know, for in-migration in the next 30, 50 years, believe it or not, the number one place in the nation listed was Duluth, Minnesota.
I believe it.
And I'm going, I thought everybody left Duluth to go south because of the weather.
Right, right.
But, you know, an unlimited supply, basically, of fresh water. Very little natural disasters. You know, not a lot of tornadoes, no hurricanes, no flooding, those kind of issues. And water. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when you look at these communities that are so affected out there, you know, Arizona, yep. New Mexico, California. We were just dealing with this, Nevada. In fact, what was really interesting out there is I'm never sure what state I was in because we were in St. George, Utah. And within 10 miles, you're either in Nevada, Arizona, or Utah.
Right, yeah.
And the time changes in every one of those.
Confusing.
But what you really learn out there is, you know, water is probably the most valuable resource. And obviously, as we look at stuff in our state with PFAS contamination or nitrate contamination, is, you know, we have to make sure that we're making those efforts to protect that resource. And I don't mean go crazy one way or the other.
Right, right.
But, you know, you certainly need to be aware of it, and we need to treat that as an extremely valuable resource.
Much like other issues we've talked about, you and I, people aren't moving to a place where they can't trust the water. And that's an issue around the whole country. But we can just take care of our own state and, you know, locally stuff. And it's good to see so many people like coming around on this subject that we've been covering for a while, you and I and others on Morning Magazine. But it feels like the nation is behind this story. And you're right. It's the new oil. It's the new... the new everything, really, because most people, they got a great school. Oh, they got a job. So that's great. How's their water? Like that's going to come up, and it's the deal breaker for a lot of people.
Yeah, and, you know, and the other thing that, you know, we're really lucky is the opportunity that we have with our state legislators, with our congressional representation. You know, we have great communication with those people, mm-hmm. you know, whether it's Senator Tessin right in our area here, Representative Krug, mm-hmm. or you know, Rosar, Shanklin, I can name them all.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can pick up the phone and call them. And that's not the case everywhere in the country. Or Congressman Van Orden has been extremely willing, you know, to come into our area and not say, I'm here from the federal government to tell you to, going, what do you need? That, you know, having that opportunity to talk to those people and meeting with them, you know, so sometimes that's where we are the conduit.
Yeah.
Don't not call,
right.
you know, be in touch with, get to know their local representatives. Because every time you walk in an office, you can't have an ask. You can't say, hey, I need money or I want.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of those are, how are you doing?
Yeah.
Everything good at home? hey, I saw your kids, Bobby and Susie, and they all look like they're doing great.
Yeah.
You need to learn, you need to meet people and get to know them personally. And then they know that you are genuine when you walk into the office with a real concern instead of I'm just here with my hand out saying, I want more money.
Yeah, yeah. People don't usually, they tune out to that.
They tune out.
You build a relationship with somebody, it goes a long way.
Or they turn away and go, oh, he's here again.
Yes, yes, that too. Lance, I always appreciate the open conversation we have. If people have more follow-up stuff, they want to talk to you about any of these things, how can they reach you?
You can give me a call. My number's in the book. So, you know, give me a call, reach out, email, call the county. Somebody will get a hold of me.
Yeah.
You know, one of the things I try to pride myself on, I'm going to do this real quick, is I try to call everybody back who calls me. I don't care how much they're yelling, how much they're screaming, you know, call them back. But you wouldn't believe the number of calls I get where, you so-and-so, blah, 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 call me.
Mm.
Well, just so you know, I don't have caller ID.
Yeah, you got to leave a number.
So people, you got to leave a number or a name. I spent the better part of a day on a recent issue trying to find the person.
Yeah.
You know, I knew their name was like Robert.
Mm, that's all you got to do.
But I'm going, all right, you know, so I'm looking property search. Is there a Robert who lives in the area? Yeah, leave a name, leave a number.
I love the idea of you calling every Robert in the phone book, though. I do like
that. I did start with our property identification, our GIS. Going, he lives around here.
Somewhere. It's got to be in the ballpark. You can find out more by going to woodcountywi.gov. It's a fantastic website. I encourage you to bookmark it, woodcountywi.gov. Also, while you're at it, go to YouTube, bookmark our friends, Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater Media. Be sure to subscribe.
It's theater
to
their, sometimes. You know.
There's theater involved. It's right in the kitty corner to you guys. the actor here has to mention theater any chance they get. Yeah, go ahead, type in your search bar on YouTube, Wisconsin Rapids Community Media, subscribe to their page. Always appreciate the time, you guys. Thank you.
Thanks, Jim.
We'll come back with some more Morning Magazine here on WFHR, locally grown radio.
Locally grown 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
I'm William Shatner, and I've been around a long time, but I'm truly humbled when I see the real battles our brave, paralyzed veterans have faced defending our freedom.
I was on a routine patrol, and we were in the desert of Kuwait, and the vehicle flipped and landed on top of me, which left me paralyzed from the waist down.
Okay, folks, this is heroism. That's why I'm proud to support Paralyzed Veterans of America. Go to pva.org to learn how you can make a difference.
Today's job market is full of demand for skilled trade workers. Electricians, welders, mechanics, these and other trades are the backbone of every community. They're also a huge part in making sure the Army National Guard is always fulfilling its mission of service to our country and communities. Soldiers train to keep the power flowing, engines running, and supplies moving. The skilled trades these soldiers perform are the same ones needed in today's civilian workforce. Army National Guard soldiers are on the fast track to learning skills that can set them up for success at home with companies looking to hire the best. With options from plumber to helicopter mechanic and everything in between, soldiers are able to select the trades that best fit their lives. Their resumes are being built through their paid training and part-time service. Find out how you too can learn a trade profession and serve your community and country by visiting NationalGuard.com. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR.
Cloudy skies with a few peaks of sun this afternoon, with daytime highs approaching 63. Easterly winds 10 to 15 miles per hour. Mainly cloudy again tonight, lows around 37. 67 tomorrow, lots of sunshine. Low 70s Friday, upper 70s Saturday.
For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 58.
Good morning, and welcome back to The Morning Magazine. It's time for part two.
Welcome, everyone, to Morning Magazine for this May 24th, 2023. It is 10:33 on the clock, and you have your host, James, behind the mic. We are joined right now by our good friends from the ODC. We have Chris Nemitz with us. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning.
And we have Chris Getch.
Gaetz.
It's Gaetz. Yeah. I knew yeah. I was close. Chris Gaetz with us as well. Both mental health coordinators with the ODC. Thank you both for being here today and certainly the conversation we're about to have. I look forward to talking with both of you guys or the ODC any chance we get. We always have fun with our conversations, but this one's got a little more of a deeper meaning to it. This one's got a little more importance to it. And like anything we touch on regarding mental health nowadays. So we're going to have fun, but I definitely look forward to getting some great information from you all as well. And to kick things off, May is Mental Health Awareness Month. And I think that we're bringing this up as much as we can, but it's not common knowledge yet. And I want to get as close to common knowledge. So next May, you're walking into May and think the one of the first things you're thinking of is mental health awareness. It's a topic that means a lot in almost any form of society. There's no field of society or part of society that is not important and that we talk about it with. I think you could make an argument it may be the most important and the most vital with your field and when it comes to the ODC and it comes to the clients that you have. So I want to dive into what your guys' jobs are and what you do specifically to kind of start this off, if you don't mind. And I'll start with you, Chris. Miss Nemitz, if you don't mind, letting us know a little bit about your job and what you do.
Yeah, so I work on the community mental health side. So basically what we do is we contract with our providers, the county or the other providers that pay for our services. And we work with our clientele to basically meet their needs, but in the community, at their pace and where they're at. So instead of the kind of the what you would think the traditional mental health work mm-hmm. where somebody comes into our clinic, which we have, which is wonderful, we actually go out to them. So it's kind of a reverse almost therapy in fact. So we'll meet people at their homes, in parks, at their business. We do, you know, a lot of the work I do is I work with people with have a lot of high anxiety, mm-hmm. self-isolation, depression. So we'll do a lot of immersion therapy. We'll do a lot of just work in the community. So a lot of times when you see us out and about with somebody, we're actually working. Yeah. But it doesn't look like we are because we're trying to be just real with the individual that we're working with. So it's a unique role that we take on where we're not in the office a whole lot. Mm-hmm. We're actually somewhere.
It's the way you reach people. You meet them halfway or you build a bridge and you figure out it's I feel like I can always tell where somebody's coming from with mental health, especially it doesn't matter if they have if they're a doctor or if they're a volunteer, no matter what their level of are they coming into it with this is mental health here or are they what do you need? What's going on with you? What is your thing in talking to somebody, meeting them that building that bridge and meeting them halfway? We have a lot more conversation about mental health nowadays, but there's also a number of different things where it's just kind of they throw it out there and it feels very, we should talk about mental health nowadays, so I'll just throw that out there, mental health, blah blah blah.
Yeah.
Like the true mental health is meeting people, is a case by case basis. You are never going to run into, I don't care if they're twins, you're not going to run into two twins that have the same mental health issues.
Correct.
And even Absolutely. If they have similar things, how you help them is going to be different. It's no different than how we learn. You know, I learned this way in school. Maybe you learned this way in school. It's very similar. I don't think we think about it with the brain very often, even though we had a perfect like blueprint school.
Yeah, absolutely.
We all had, most of us at least, had a good teacher that took the time to be like, okay, this kid learns this way. This kid learns that way.
Yeah, everybody has that one teacher.
Yeah. So it feels like that's the approach from you all at the ODC when it comes to this issue, when it comes to mental health.
Yeah, you know, the great thing is each of us are so individualized in what we do and our skill set, but our approach really is the individual. Mm-hmm. So an understanding that everybody learns in a different way, everybody adapts in a different way, everybody handles stress, anxiety, just their day in a different way. And to meet them where they're at and say, what's the walk we're going to take today? You know, and then figure out how we're going to support and help that individual on that walk is a really, I think Chris would agree, it's so beneficial to the person, and we see just a faster recovery when we can walk alongside them in that approach, and just to be able to be flexible with that. Again, to me, it's so fun to be able to get out And to be able to work with just a variety of individuals.
It's a lot more, and I imagine a lot more impactful and can do a lot more good work than having them lay out on a couch and, you know, talk about their mother or something. You know, the idea is what we have of therapy, of mental health, of those kind of things. This is much different than that. This is much deeper than that.
Absolutely. It's evolved so much. A lot of people think counseling, therapy, you know, you brought up the couch, the infamous couch, you know. It's just not that way anymore. It doesn't have to be that. Mm-hmm. A large program that we facilitate, the Comprehensive Community Services model, it is a recovery-based model, and it's individual-led. You know, mm-hmm. they come up with their plans, they work with their caseworker to set their goals, and we try to support those goals, as Chris said, in any way that we can. You know, we meet the people where they're at. And having worked in the field for a good long time, and I primarily work with children and families, has kind of been my bread and butter. I'm kind of worked with a little bit of everything. But you get a lot of these kids, and they can't conform to that stereotypical model. Yeah. And the more we have these conversations, the more it helps decrease that stigma. Mm-hmm. And the challenge around having these conversations goes down. And my personal philosophy is that the more we do have these conversations and the more that door stays open, the more people will become comfortable with seeking that help. And they won't feel afraid to reach out. And sometimes maybe they won't have to reach out because it is so difficult to actually get that help.
You know, on the flip side too, we do have the clinic, which if you feel more comfortable with that traditional model of coming in and doing that therapeutic work, we're full. Mm-hmm. I mean, our therapists are full. We have we have people waiting to get in. So again, the nice thing of the mental health field now is it isn't the traditional I have to sit on the couch and talk to you. It's a smorgasbord. You can kind of pick to say, hey, I'd rather have you really come to my house and do this versus, or no, I don't want you in my home. Mm-hmm. I want to come to you. So the beauty of what we've been able to launch over the last 5 years is this combination of people can pick what is comfortable and works for them, which I think is has made the growth in what we do so much more beneficial.
I had this question because when I was in junior high, I did a little bit of therapy, haven't since, and I've thought about it for years and everything, and I want to say in December I started seeing a therapist once a month just to give this a shot and everything. As a side note, I tell my mother this, and I'm expecting a little pushback or something like that and everything, or something from my Jewish mother, something, you know, along the lines of care or whatever. I tell her this immediately without like a half a second. Oh yeah, that's a good idea. Like, you didn't have to respond that quickly, Bob. You know, it's a little, but in doing this, it's uncovered so much, and it has helped me so much better, more than I realized I even needed. But one of the things that I really appreciated about it was, well, that my therapist is in San Francisco, mm-hmm. and I'm here, and we're able to communicate and using this modern technology. And one of the things that I was hesitant about at first is I see her, and I immediately am like, oh, she don't know my story. She ain't going to be able to relate to any of this. I immediately start closing up. And I didn't realize I was doing it right away. It wasn't until the second meeting I did. We all understand that it's so much easier for us to talk to somebody that may know what it's like, that has been through the trenches and understands maybe it's depression or it's something else. For you and your clients, it's got to be difficult to be able to get to that level. There's just physically, mentally, there's just, you know, things that hold you back from that. How do you both individually reach people, like get to their level, be able to relate to them, be able to be like, I understand that I don't understand. Yeah, you know what I mean? Like that, the idea of that.
Yeah. Well, you know, everything is about effective service provision is all about empathy. And, you know, for me, I definitely eat, sleep, and breathe a more person-centered model. They call it person-centered therapy. That's kind of where my approach comes from. And it is all about building that rapport, building the relationship, because through that, you gain trust. Yeah. And with that trust, there are certain people that just want that blank slate to talk to. Mm-hmm. Kind of like they're just shouting at the void.
Yeah.
That can be therapy.
Mm-hmm.
There can be therapy in people, maybe some of the people I work with want advice.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they want to problem solve. And that can be very good. And especially that, especially with providing services to men, that's a huge thing. It's, it's a very common thing. Like a lot of times men don't want to go and gush their feelings, and because we've been told we're not supposed to do that. You know, we've been trained that way. And so a lot of people, more of a solution focused sort of thing, or, you know, hey, problem solving angle, that's what they want. And the thing that I love about our program and what we do is whenever we go meet with somebody to get started, it's all about them. What do you like? What do you want? Where do you want to go? I'm here to do it with you. That's where it starts. And I think you really get people's buy-in pretty early when you start that way. You put them in the driver's seat and you watch where they go. Like, we're alongside them.
That's, you know, really smart. And I'm just really honest. You know, I say that I'm not in your situation, right? Like, my situation is different than yours. But I'm going to walk with you through this, and you fill me in your situation, and let's go on that journey together. You know, and again, I work with a lot of men who have you know, alcohol and drug abuse issues. I don't come from that background, but I'm like, okay, you teach me. You tell me about what's going on for you. Will you tell me what's not working, what is working, and go together. And just that, that approach to, I don't know everything, but let's figure it out together type approach, I think really helps. And then again, I'm about time. I'm like, listen, there's no time on your journey. Because people are like, well, we got to get it done in 6 months. No, we'll get it done whenever it gets done, right? I've worked with clients. I worked with a gentleman who it took a year before he honestly said, I trust you. And he goes, now I know you're in it for the long haul. So, okay, let's go. He goes, are you ready? And I said, absolutely. He goes, okay. And it started to come out. So, you know, it's, it really is like Chris said about, you know, just letting them know, one, I don't know everything, but I'm going to walk it with you. And you teach me.
You don't have to face it alone.
You teach me, I'll teach you. And and that model, I think, really helps people feel comfortable being vulnerable.
You guys are good. You guys are good. We're going to take a really quick commercial break. Come back. I want to talk about some of the services, some of the events coming up with our ODC right here on Morning Magazine at WFHR, locally grown radio.
Hey, everybody. Glad you could join us. I'm Tim Hubbelt, better known as the Polka Guy, on the Sunshine Polka Party Variety Show.
Join Tim every Saturday and Sunday for a great variety of polkas, waltzes, and more. Wake up at 7 a.m. on Saturday morning to get the weekend started on the right foot, then enjoy a lively Sunday afternoon at 1 p.m. Same great show, two different times, one fun weekend. The Sunshine Polka Party Variety Show, 7 a.m. Saturdays and 1 p.m. Sundays, only on WFHR, locally grown radio.
Over the past few years, the COVID-19 pandemic has affected how we live our daily lives. Today, we also face a mental health pandemic that threatens our well-being as we attempt to rebuild our social networks and communities.
The pandemic has reminded us to value family, community, and our human connections. However, it has also left many of us feeling more isolated, confused, and alone, struggling to find meaning amid loss and uncertainty.
Today, one in five Americans experience emotional and mental health challenges. But many of us do not understand what we are facing or know how to ask for help.
At the American Psychiatric Association Foundation, we understand what you are going through, and we are here to help. Our vision is to build a mentally healthy nation for all. We work every day to eliminate stigma, combat mental illness and substance use disorders, and advance mental health. If you or someone you love needs help, you are not alone. Please visit mentallyhealthynation.org to learn more.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Mainly cloudy skies expected this afternoon with highs around 63. Winds out of the east 10 to 15 miles per hour. Mainly cloudy skies tonight, lows dip down to about 37. Daytime highs approaching 67. Tomorrow, mainly sunny skies. Low 70s Friday, upper 70s Saturday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 59.
Thanks a lot, Jennifer. Welcome back to Morning Magazine here at WFHR. 10:48 on the clock. We're speaking with the Chrises, mental health coordinators over the ODC. I'm going to turn you guys into a band.
Oh yeah.
You already got a name. You already got a name.
Here we got it.
We're talking mental health with the guys and talking to about the ODC. And I want to touch on a couple of events coming up at the ODC, yeah. But I'd like to also take this opportunity to remind people of the services you all have over there and how people, our community, can take advantage of them and how our community is made better through them.
Sure.
So let's start right there, if you don't mind.
Well, just on the mental health side, we have the, like Chris said, the community support services that we do. We have the clinic itself in-house. So both services for mental health. Again, we have employment-related services. So we do help people who have documented disabilities able to go out and get that support for work if they're interested in work. We do have our day services facilities, our community day services facilities. We support people in their homes. So just a variety of supports that we have for individuals that have some sort of just struggle. You know, and if anybody really says, hey, can I get support? You know, the easiest thing to do is just call us and then we'll walk you through whether we can provide that or not. So
if there is a need, if there is something that is pulling in you, it's a good idea to reach out.
Absolutely.
Unlike a lot of the things that you see nowadays medication-wise and everything, there is no side effect to this. There is no, you go, you talk, you have a session, if you will, or something, and leave, and like, oh, now one leg is shorter than the other, or something, I don't know, whatever weird side effects that exist with half the stuff that are over the, you know, diagnosed stuff nowadays. Yeah. That's key to this, I think. So many people want results nowadays, and they want them quickly in that, and with a subject like this, you have to be patient. You have to give yourself time. And we talk the phrase giving grace gets used a lot with mental health nowadays. But I don't think we flip it on ourselves enough. Like, we're getting better about it, but we got work to do.
That's one of the major things that I touch on with a lot, especially the adults that I work with. We are so fast to kick ourselves when we're down. And we got to recognize that you're not going to help yourself out of that hole by doing that. It's just not helpful. And before we get too far afield, you mentioned, you know, reaching out. And if you feel something's off, reach out for help. If you see people around you, the loved ones in your life, if they start acting a little bit differently, you know, just consider that, you know, maybe you aren't alone. What can help them? Maybe there's other things that can help them through that. Because a lot of times, if we are going through some kind of a mental health crisis, we don't want to burden the people around us.
Yep.
That's what Chris and I are here for. Mm-hmm. That's what ODC is here for, is that we can be that person to help you through those times without having to burden their people. They will reap the benefits because you're going to help yourself, you're going to help them, and we can be that for you.
Doing being in your field in the Midwest just got to be so difficult. We are built a certain way here, where you know, our leg is missing. I'll walk it off. I'll walk it off. Yeah. It doesn't matter what it is we're talking about. You will walk it off. Yep. You break both your legs, I'll walk it off. Like it's so the idea of owning these things yourself is almost the first step in understanding those things. But also to your point, Chris, about paying attention to those around you is never a bad idea too. And say you you're worried about annoying somebody, or you're worried about sticking your nose where it doesn't belong, or something like that. Nobody's ever died from that. Nobody has ever. Yeah. Very few friendships have ended because of that, or something. Reach out, give it a shot. At the very least, it's an uncomfortable, awkward couple of seconds there, and then go ahead and talk sports scores or something like that.
Yeah, you could be that hand reaching down into the pit.
Yeah,
you know, to pull somebody out.
Yeah,
because if they can't claw themselves out of it. You might be that for somebody, even if they don't seem like they're in that bad of a place. You could be that.
Yeah. Well, you made the comment, you know, that Midwest mentality of we're just going to rub some dirt on it and go.
Yep.
You know, we were talking off air. My oldest son and I went on a tour of UW Oshkosh last Friday because he's looking to go into school there. And one of the things I took away was the holistic approach to school now. It wasn't just about academics. Our tour guide talked about mental health services and counseling services and the health department on there and the physical education department and the social life and the activities and the organizations you can be involved in. So there is a shift. You're starting to see a shift where people are going, you know what? And the higher education schools are going, we understand that if you're in a good physical and mental and emotional place, you are a better student.
Yeah.
And that just makes you more successful. Where I remember when I went to school, you know, back in the dinosaur days, it was like academics first, and then it was like survive on your own.
Yeah.
You know, and so now just that, and I took away from that, and I was like, wow, this, you know, and we've been on a couple campus tours where it, that was the huge focus was on outside the academics. Because like you're there for the academics. That's gonna that's what you're gonna do, right?
Yeah.
It's making you a better person overall. So I thought, man, that's a shift that's starting to happen.
It's encouraging.
We're never any one thing. We're always whole people. You know, it's just
everything ties into everything else. Everything bleeds into everything else.
You know, we may have a squeaky wheel somewhere, but we are whole people. We gotta remember that.
It's great to hear not just in the education level, but on so many levels that we're getting it like, oh, just work. Oh, if you're not healthy mentally, your work is gonna suffer. Mm-hmm. So I'll take care of the mental health, and then I get a better worker. Like, it's no different than with education or any of these things. If we attack this the proper way, we can be benefited from it society wise. It again hits into all fields. Mm-hmm. If you're listening to this and you think you're perfectly fine and don't have any mental health issues and don't understand what all the pomp and circumstance is about, I can reach you economically. All of this affects your economics, affects your tax dollars. It does. It all connects. So I would like to think that everybody is on the same page with this issue. And I think, like, and I know, like, a lot of families out there, this isn't a new issue, like, for me and my family. I grew up with my mother being manic depressive and certainly having my own stuff, my brother and sister, those things. And this has been a long time issue for us. And bringing attention to this issue feels like one of the most exhausting parts of my life, is trying to get people to care about this stuff. Now we're finally there. We're finally at a place in society where it's more and more. Chris, you touch on taking your kid to school and experiencing that and seeing how other people are doing these things now. And this is great. And we've made a lot of strides. I don't think I'm alone also in the fact of, one of the things I worry about is, okay, well, we've taken care of that. Mental health's done. Let's move on to the next thing. We have a tendency to do that in society. Recycling comes up. Everybody's recycling. Yep. Everybody cares about recycling. It feels like 4 or 5 years later, we're still recycling, but people are throwing stuff out their windows now and stuff like that. We cannot take our eyes off the ball on this one. Absolutely. It's the great work we've made, but we cannot afford to take two steps back, one step forward. Yeah. That's not what we can afford to do on this.
Mental health is health. And just like our physical health, we've got to make sure we stay on top of it, just like you're saying. We've
got some great events coming up at the ODC. I want to make sure we touch on those and make sure that we mention some great sponsors as well and all that.
Absolutely. So just some stuff that we have coming up. We still are doing our June cash raffle. So there's still some tickets left to get on that. So if anybody's interested in doing that, just reach out and contact the main ODC telephone number or email. Yeah. I'll get on the website for that. We're actually going to be doing a ODC 50-50 raffle night at the Rafters game on June 5th. So if you want to come out, the Rafters are just a ton of fun. It's a just fun summer baseball. I love summer baseball. We're doing a 50-50 raffle that night. On the 19th of June, White Sands Mini Golf is doing, for every person that goes out in mini golf, $1 is being donated to ODC.
Very cool.
So super cool for White Sands for doing that. And then coming up in August will be our fourth annual run, walk, and roll.
Yeah.
And then we're actually doing, hopefully, if the weather holds, a live event on August 17th. I know we've ran into some weather days in the past.
Yeah. Midwest again.
Absolutely. So just some great fun events coming up.
When it comes to these events, too, we've got some great sponsors, some great people that have helped over the years to be a part of this with the second annual Four for Hope golf outing.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. Got like Wood Trust involved in there. Some businesses that we hear a lot when it comes to these events.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, our second annual Hope Golf benefit for our clinic was a huge success. 68 golfers participated.
68. That's awesome.
And that was early in the season.
I meant to mention that. Cool.
So actually, we've already marked on the calendar. So next year, May 31st, we're backing it up. Hopefully, it won't be so cold when we're out there. It turned out to be a really nice day, but I worked one of the booths out on one of the holes, and it was we dressed in layers.
So
it was a little cold in the morning. So just a great amount of sponsors. As you said, we had Wood Trust, Premier Sports, Solaris, Exact Science, were our lunch sponsors. We had Tito's, Altman Construction. We had Grochet Cranberry, where event gift sponsors. So just a ton of local support that came out, and it jumped on board. And what a great day that was.
There are so many. Every one of those businesses you mentioned too, we've mentioned them with other events and other things, with other nonprofits and such. And I always like to give a big appreciation to these businesses that constantly put back into their community, invest in these events that help not just the ODC but other nonprofits continue to do the vital work in our community. With the ODC, it is not just certainly first and foremost importantly helping the clients, but that benefits all of us. These clients come into our community. Absolutely. They work in here. They're citizens just like the rest of us, and get to enjoy their lives a little bit more than they would maybe otherwise. It's such a great organization. I have no journalistic integrity with you guys because I just love you all to death and can't help myself. I did want to mention, though, as Chris said, if you want to reach out to the ODC, you can find them at their website, odcinc.com. That's a great website. Be sure to bookmark it, odcinc.com. Otherwise, you can give them a call in the Rapids office at 715-424-2712, 424-2712. So never a bad idea to reach out, see other volunteering opportunities, ways that you can help out with the ODC.
Absolutely.
Appreciate the time, guys, and really appreciate everything.